What is the definition of why? For what reason or what purpose? Why are we here? Why did God put us here? Why are we, and some of us have asked this question, in Hemet, this wonderful, beautiful valley? Why, God, did you put me in Hemet? God, why maybe have you put me in California? Why did you put me in the place where I work? Why did you put me where I live? Why did you put me? Why? Why am I alive? Why? For what reason or what purpose? Why do people ask why? Out of curiosity, people ask why it promotes rapid brain development, to understand what's around, to help make connections, to explore concepts, to learn new information. Do you know that the Earth, this beautiful, wonderful place we live in, Earth was created for life? If life, if it was left to chance, it's unlikely that any place in the universe could support life like we know it. God created this place for us. God created life, life that is meant to thrive. God, the earth, it all speaks of one thing. God likes life. And he created life for every one of us so that our life can learn to thrive. Do you know what the Earth's core, it's created, the Earth's core was created to protect life. The Earth's water cycle protects and provides the life that we have. The Earth is covered by three-fourths of water. Our bodies, these wonderful, handsome, beautiful bodies that God has given to us, filled, consumed with over half to three-fourths water at times. Do you know that each human has a unique chin, a tongue print, fingerprint, eyes? Yes, we've heard this before. Do you know that every human has 60,000 miles of blood vessels in these bodies? 60,000 miles of blood vessels in these bodies. The blood makes for 8% of our body weight. Laid out, blood vessels end to end, the adult blood vessels can circle the Earth's core 4 times. Our heart beats more than 3 billion times in our average lifetime. We each have a distinctive U-shaped bone in our neck that is essential for speech. That's not attached to anything else. Every human has a distinctive U-shaped bone in our neck that's essential for speech and not attached to any other bone. Babies are born with over 300 bones, but at some point, some of those bones begin to fuse together and they grow. And so that when a baby grows into adult, there's only 206 bones that remain in a adult. Information in our brain travels along in the nerves at speeds of about 350 miles per second. Can you believe that? 350 miles flying information. Our bodies, the sensory system that gathers data from the environment surroundings at a rate, this is crazy. Our bodies, the sensory system, gathers data from the environment surroundings at a rate of 1 billion bit per second, which most of this information gets filtered out before reaching awareness. Emotions travel faster than thoughts. Every individual has a unique body smell, as most of us know. We all smell so good. Except for identical twins, they smell the same. Every individual has a unique body smell, except for identical twins, because they smell the same. Light that God created travels at 186,000 miles per second. Light, it takes 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth. Light takes 1.3 seconds to travel from the moon to the earth. There are so many things that as you can study, you can read, you can Google, that can give you confidence that we are designed, we are made by God. Why? For what reason? For what purpose? Because if God is the designer, if God is the creator, if God is the one who made me and put me together, then my life was meant and built to belong to him first. God first. With that, we're going to open to Mark chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1 this morning. So they arrived at the other side of the lake. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, he snapped the chains from his wrists, smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue this guy. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling, cutting himself with sharp stones. Jesus was still some distance away. The man saw him. They ran to meet him, and they bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Jesus already said to the spirit, "Come out of that man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Verse 10. The evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into the pigs," so the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of that man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of bacon and a lot of ham steaks, that plunged down the steep hillside into the lake, and they drowned in the water. Verse 14, the herd herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounded the countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. Now he was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and pigs. The crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and to leave them alone. Verse 18, Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And Jesus said, "No, go to your family, tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." And the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he was told. And so this morning, we open up with Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus. This story is really about two people. We don't forget about the pigs, but it is about two people, Jesus and the man who was possessed. Historical data confirms writings that Jesus was a real man. First century teachers, he was a teacher, he was a preacher, he was from Galilee. It is documented that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus was documented that he gathered 12 disciples, that Jesus ministered to people, that he was crucified in Judea by Pontius Pilate. It is documented by Christians and non-Christians and Jewish people, all these facts that Jesus, he was a carpenter, that his public ministry lasted a little over 3 years, that through the Bible and through non-biblical records, all these things are stated through Roman historians, Jewish historians, that Jesus was a real man, that he was born, that he lived, that he died through crucifixion. Jesus Christ. Archaeological findings also support the context of the Gospels. Archaeological, those who are digging up the ground, also find and support the context of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, supporting details and accounts from this time. When Jesus was here on the earth, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. What's a prophecy? It's something spoken from heaven to a man and into the earth, something that's going to happen in the future. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies in his time. Prophecies that were spoken that a Messiah would come, various aspects of his life. The chance that one man would fulfill one out of that one man could fulfill 8 prophecies. It is the 1 in 100 quadrillion. The chance that one man could fulfill 8 of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, it is 1 in 100 quadrillion. It's a lot. It's a lot of zeros. Ask yourself this morning, has there ever been a point in life you say, "Why God? Why am I here? Why am I with these people? Why am I at church? Why do I have to read the Bible? Why do I have to worship? Why? Why? How many of us have ever gone through a period in life where we loved God? And when you love someone, you love everything about that one, right? When you fall in love with a person, you fall in love with the good, bad, and ugly that exists in every single person. So when we fall in love with God, many of us, we learn to go to church, and we're excited about church, and we love to worship, we love to read our Bible, we pray, and we're so excited. But how many of us have seen there's a junior high kind of love, there's a high school kind of love, there's an adult kind of love. Now, junior high kind of love, people, they fall in love one day, tomorrow I hate your guts. Junior high kind of love, we're head over heels, you to the guy, to the girl, the most amazing person in the whole world, and tomorrow I don't ever want to see your face again. High school, it's a little bit more long-lasting, maybe from a day, week, could be a month, right? Some kids fall in love for a long time. But love changes through junior high, high school, and adulthood. Just like in Christianity, there are people who love God one day, the next day they say, God, I hate you. Because they didn't get something they wanted. God, I love you today. I don't like you tomorrow because you didn't do this for me. There are times where people are excited, so excited. But sometimes what we don't realize is people, when we allow things to creep into our mind, we allow things to creep into our heart, and emotions travel faster than thoughts, and become negative. The one God that we loved at one point, everything about him, this church, the building, the people of God all over the world. How many people have ever started to lose feeling for the things that God loves? Jesus, if the earth is so amazing, if it's so unique, if these bodies seem, the more that you study, the more you get to know, it points to a designer. These bodies point to a designer. But how many, doesn't matter really how many times we hear it. Doesn't matter how many times we see it. At some point, we have to make a decision. Am I for Jesus or am I not? Am I for this story? If I give him my life for this? John 20:31 said, these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man, Jesus, he came to seek to save those who are lost. Jesus said when he was here, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. Why? What reason? What purpose? Why Jesus? And what does Jesus on this Communion Sunday mean to me? What does Jesus mean to you this morning? What does he mean to us? Why? For what reason? What purpose? Jesus. And then we see in the story that we read this morning, there was a man possessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're not possessed this morning. Whew. Because sometimes you act like it. Just kidding. This man was possessed by an evil spirit. And a man who was possessed by an evil spirit, he lived in a burial site, burial caves. This man, it said that the man who was possessed, he couldn't be restrained. You put chains on him and shackles, and he would snap them, and he would smash them, so he was strong. No human could restrain this man. This man spent his life every day, every night, wandering around. Where? Dead people. He used to howl like he was a dog, and he cut himself. And I wonder this morning how many people can relate to the story of this guy's life. Now, if you think about it, guy, he was possessed by an evil spirit. Many of us in here may have never experienced that, but maybe you know what it means to be oppressed, which means that there's a spirit lurking around, speaking thoughts into your head. Doesn't mean you're possessed. Possessed means inside, not oppressed. This man was possessed. He had a ton of demons and their friends and their cousins inside of him. He was possessed by an evil spirit. He lived with dead people. This is where he wanted to live. Darkness with dead people, and he could not be restrained, he could not be chained, and he lived a life of wandering, howling, cutting himself. How many people like this man enjoy spending time through the night but not enjoying the light that God created us to live? Darkness is meant for time when our eyes close, we go to sleep, your body repairs itself, you wake up in the day, and you live a life full of light. Your body, if you go to bed before 10 o'clock at night, it heals itself twice as fast. If you go to bed before 10 o'clock, your body heals itself twice as fast. God created light. There was darkness already. He separated them. And he said, listen, you get tired, you close your eyes, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and you live in the light. This man enjoyed living in what? In dark places, with dark things, dead people. This is where the life that he was inspired, for whatever reason. We don't know. We don't know if his parents abused him, his aunts, uncles, grandparents. We don't know if he had a friend who abused him. We have no idea what led this man to this point. But at some point, this man decided the life he wanted to live, possessed by a demon, living in the darkness with dead people. They were dead. They were gone. Surrounded by dark things. This constant feeling, people, culture, society, peer pressure, family, friends. I wonder how many of us feel like someone or something is trying to constantly restrain me. How many of us have ever lived and been in a point where it seems like someone or something trying to restrain me, trying to put chains on me, trying to put shackles on my feet so I can't run, I can't be who I am? And I wonder how many of us this morning ever feel restless. I can't sleep. I can't sit. I can't do anything. This man in the story, he preferred to wander through the burial site every single day, every single night. I can't sit still. I got to wonder. I don't want to sit down. I don't want to go home. I'd rather be with dead people. I'm going to live my life wondering. This man, for whatever reason, he wanted to howl like a dog. Maybe it felt good, howling like a dog. For whatever reason, inside of him, there was something. It says that he spent his time howling like a dog. And how many today understand that there's many people who want to be anything they want to be except for the thing that they were made to be? This man was made to be a man, but he acted like a dog. This man was created to be a man, to work, to love, to provide, but instead he chose to be a dog. How many people today are trying to do everything they can to run, to hide, for when God made them to be? You know that 50 to 60% of young adults today spend most of their time trying to change who they are, their personality, to fit in more socially. Most common, as we know, in teens, acting, whatever we need to do to fit in. But it keeps on going from teens into adulthood. Many adults said to live, we all have our favorite actors, we all have our favorite movies, but how many of us, if you were honest this morning, every one of us, we know how to act and put on a show, to act like everything's okay when it's not, to act like we're happy when we're sad, to act like everything is put together when it's not put together. Every one of us knows how to be an actor and hide from people. And I wonder this morning how many people have a heart that is not beating. You can't feel the beat, but it's numb. Like the guy in the story. Today, people, because they're so creative, they decided to make 72 genders, not just two. 72 gender pronouns. People who work hard today to suppress what God made them to be, their authentic, true self. Do you know every single person who spends their life trying to be something they are not, they experience guilt, anxiety, and self-alienation. This man cut himself. I don't know if you've ever known a cutter. How many people live with a pain inside? And living with a pain inside, I need to do something with the pain that I feel. So many kids, there's even adults, but more kids that cut themselves because they're trying to release the pain that they have inside. And so many people today live in pain, and they either take it out on their own bodies or they take it out on somebody else, verbally, physically. Many people today, they try to find something to cope or find a release from what it is they're going through. Emotional pressure, anxiety, sadness, anger. Some people have a hard time expressing the inner pain or turmoil that they have inside, like the man in this story who wanted to be a dog and he cut himself. Some, like feeling, live for feelings, for the chaos, for the out of control feeling. I'd rather live in a chaotic state with feeling like nothing is in control. There's no law, there's no order. It's better out of control. It's better to be numb. It's better to be numb. It's better to act out of my feelings. Many today live more depressed and with more anxiety, abuse mentally and emotionally than ever before. Ever. Why are all these numbers on the rise? Why are all these things growing at rapid rates? The man in this story, he lived a life and he couldn't find one person up to this point who could help. The man in the story, no matter what people did to try to control him, speak to him, help him, not one person could help the man up to this point and up to this day in the story. This man lived a life that was sad, it was depressed, and it was unfortunately horrific because he had so many demons living inside of him, speaking to him every single moment, controlling. You know, when I was a kid, I don't know if you've ever heard of a Ouija board, but when I was a kid, kids started playing with dark things in dark ways. How many of us know that when you become a Christian, you learn to start talking to God? But people who are not Christians, they also learn to start talking to the devil and spirits. There are people who experience the light, Jesus, the cross, truth, salvation. And there are other people who experience dark things and dark ways. And sometimes they don't know what to do with that darkness. God promises through the way of salvation, life after death, life that is blessed now and a life that is blessed later. Satan also, he promises you many things. What did he promise to Jesus when he was here? Hey, I'll help feed your stomach. Hey, I'll help put on a good show for you. Hey, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the world. And how many people today are selling their soul because they're trying to win the world? How many people, how many of us have ever heard, you need to live, you know, your best life now. You need to experience every 3 billion things there are in this world to experience. You need to go after everything. This is the exact same message that the devil said to Jesus. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything, whatever you want. You can experience life at its fullest. Come follow me, Jesus, the devil said. The devil is clear as day. The devil, from the very beginning, says he's a liar, he's the father of lies. And what is his message to every one of us? Listen, he says, let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you who you belong to. Let me show you the pathway to something greater. God's already got the path written out in here, the Bible. But the devil's on the side and he's saying, no. We don't have to follow everything that's in here. Hey, let's make our own little religion. We'll take part of this. We'll make our own little religion over here. Let's take part of this, and we'll take part of that, and we're going to merge it together, and it's going to be what I want it to be. This man in this story, the demons that were inside of him, when they saw Jesus, what did they say? Why are you trying to hurt me? Does Jesus, have you ever seen Jesus hurt somebody from the stories that we read about Jesus? Did we ever see Jesus hurt anybody in the Bible? No. He healed people. He loved people. He provided for people. So why would the demons lie and said, why, Jesus, are you here to hurt me? Because they knew in that second that this man whose life was completely destroyed, he was about to get a second chance. And I wonder this morning, if we were to take the story of this man who was possessed, I wonder how many of us can relate to certain things that he was going through. I would rather wonder than sit still. I would rather to keep on moving and never plant myself anywhere. How many of us There's pain inside, and so I need to inflict pain on myself or other people with the verbal words that come out of my mouth. How many people, like this man in the story, we look at other people like they're trying to control us? How many of you look at men and women and bosses and the government and politics? All they want to do is chain me up and put shackles on my feet. We're always constantly looking to other people, thinking that they're out to destroy us. This is this man in this story. No one will restrain me. No one will hold me down. No one. I'm going to live the life that I want to here in darkness. Until one day, the day that he met Jesus. The man had no idea with who he's going to be confronted with on this day. The most powerful man on the planet. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the most powerful man to ever live and who will ever live. Jesus, the most powerful guy who at any point, we know that he walked on water. We know that he raised the dead. We know that he opened the eyes of the blind, which only the Messiah was prophesied to do. We know that he constantly opened the ears of deaf people. He rebuked demons out of people. Jesus did so many miraculous things every single day. Jesus. And what did he provide for this man in this story? John 8:32 says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:36, "Son sets you free, you are truly free." Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus is speaking about himself, "he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released. The blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, that God's time of favor has come." Galatians 5:1, "If Christ has set us free, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." This man in the story, he was looking for something. He wanted something, but he didn't know where to go. And so he stayed in a place that felt comfortable to him. This man, there was two things he desperately needed. This man in this story that described of a man who was possessed by so many things. Now it says he was possessed by evil spirits. And maybe today none of us in here are possessed by evil spirits, but I bet you we are possessed by many things. And I think this morning many things hold us captive. Thoughts, emotions, the past, good, bad, ugly, family, culture, social media, friends. How many of us this morning, the same thing that God and Jesus had for this man, he has for us, he has for you, he has for me. Two things. This story today reflects in this song what too many are afraid to admit, that I struggle with so many things within myself, that maybe I've bought a lie of who I am. Maybe I bought into something that I'm not. I followed the wrong voice, someone who promised freedom, but it actually led me to slavery. There's two things that this man struggled with in this story and in this text. He lost sight of who he was, and then he became so chained and so enslaved inside. He was begging, like that song, for what? Freedom. God, freedom. You know, many of us young kids make mistakes. And God knows he didn't create robots. He created humans. So we do make mistakes. All of us do. But sometimes along the way, what the devil's voice does is he tells you that mistake that you made, it's who you are. This is what belongs to you. And so many take that word that Satan said, and they accept it as their own. Okay. They lose sight that it is a mistake, and they start accepting. This is what I am. For this poor man in this story, he spent years of his life alone, dark, confused, like a dog, cutting himself every single day, losing out on life. The devil promises every one of us life every single day, just like God does. Hey, click on this site over here. Check this out. You'll really like this over here. hey, why don't you go hang out with these people over here? It's going to give you such a great feeling if you hang out and become friends with these people over here. Every one of us, the devil lies every single day, promising freedom. But his freedom, it leads to slavery. And I wonder this morning, how many of us can relate to the story of this man? Maybe there's some confusion. Maybe there's some darkness. Maybe there's some emotions that are negative. Maybe there's some acting out of pain that I have. Maybe I don't like people because people have done things to me. A man who was possessed, he needed two things. He needed to know who he was, and he needed freedom. Do you know who God has made you to be? 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're not like that. You're a chosen people. You're royal priests, a holy nation, God's own possession. As a result, you show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his light. Once you had no identity as people, but now you are God's people. Do you know this morning the identity that God has given to you? The reason, the why. This topic, this theme that we're in is called what? It's called why. The why am I here? Why did God make me? Why did God put me here? Why has God brought me to this town, to these people, in this place, for this moment, for this season? Why? Why? Why do I feel like I'm being dragged sometimes? Why do I feel like people drag me, push me down, push me around? Ephesians 2:19. So now, Gentiles, which are non-Jews, like the rest of us in here this morning, unless you're Jewish, are no longer strangers, foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Ephesians 2:10 says, listen, we are God's own, his own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do good works, which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us, taking the path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to be. Identity, a fact of being who or what a person is. Why did God make you? What did God make you to be? What's the person that God put together inside of you? Not what other people, not even what parents, family, friends, social media, our friends, the things we call friends on here. What is it that God directly, the voice from heaven, calls you today and says, this is who I made you to be. This is your identity. This is who I made you to be. This is a fact of who I made you to be. Freedom. The state of not being in prison or slave to anything or anyone. Two things the man was looking for, his identity and his freedom. Just like many of us in here this morning still haven't found our identity in Christ Jesus, in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the life that Jesus gave. And many of us this morning have not walked out the freedom Jesus paid for a long time ago. 2,000 years ago, he pulled out his wallet, he pulled out his life, and he laid it all down and said, everybody who comes after me can walk in this freedom. But everybody wants to pick it up. Not everybody wants to pick it up. The cross, it's too heavy. The path to freedom, it's too heavy. You know, the devil's been lying to every one of us for a long time. I just wonder how many of us started to believe. He's been lying since the beginning of the world. And how many of us, since our creation, have we believed a lie or the truth about who God has made us to be? There's a difference between people who have a proud heart and proud mind compared to someone who has a humble heart and a humble mind. What's the difference between being a humble person and a proud person? A proud person does not want to stop and ask for help when help's desperately needed. A proud person can't admit it runs and it's hiding from things in the past that's got claws, like Freddy Krueger with claws that try and get up and get us. Many of us have experienced, every one of us in here, there's something from the past we don't like. right? Whether it was friends, family, parents, school teachers, even pastors, unfortunately. All of us have things from the past that we want to bury. We want to get away from words that have been spoken over us, but they keep coming back, and they got these big, giant hands that are trying to grab us. A proud heart does not want to admit what's in the past. A proud heart wants to fake the past and gives the illusion of this present moment. Everything is okay. But a humble heart, the Bible says, when you confess your sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive you. It's through confession. And it doesn't mean, some people think that you need to come up and say to the pastor, to the priest, all your sins. No, you don't need to come up to the pastor or priest and confess all your sins. You need to get before God Almighty by yourself, and you need to lay out everything that is going on in your heart, mind, and soul to Him, because it's God who created life. It's God who gives life. It's God who sent His Son to die on the cross. A humble heart, what did Jesus say about those who are humble? The humble inherit the earth. Doesn't matter what you do to me. Doesn't matter what you say to me. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to take it in. I just keep living and being who God made me to be. I don't need to be offended. I don't need to be offended. I don't need to soak in. Some of us, we soak in what everyone says and what everybody does, and we take it all in, and we got to carry everyone's burdens, and we have to carry everything that people say. And then because our hearts are proud, we don't know how to stop and say, wow, my friends, my family, they destroyed me. The devil, he destroyed me. They don't know how to ask for help. Bible, that's why the Bible says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, because it's the humble that know to go to God and say, God, forgive me. God, help me. It's the humble who are willing to stop. Communion Sunday, communion, it's stated as an act of remembering. We're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus gave His body on a cross to die for our sins, become like the song that we played, Vertical Worship, Lamb of God. He became the offering in my place. Jesus gave His body as an offering and sacrifice so that I don't have to go through that. My sins, my wrongful actions, I don't have to pay. This morning, just like the man in the story who was possessed, many of us are looking for freedom, but we're too afraid to seek the truth. Many of us this morning, we have a false sense of freedom. We have a false sense of blessing because we think that we follow the truth in our head. But every one of us, we can make up truth that is only true to me, and it's only true to you. And it's the truth that I'm going to live by. God said there's only one truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If your truth does not line up with this, it's not true. If there's Roman historians, Jewish historians, Christian, non-Christian scholars, all state, all believe Jesus was a real person. He lived, He did great things, and He was crucified. It states the facts. This is not a fake thing. It's not something to take for granted. It is the truth. And if this is the truth, Jesus said there's only one way you can find freedom. There's only one way to find the identity in who you are. It is through Jesus Christ. And so it's with that this morning. We have bread and we have juice, if you can hold them both this morning. Because there's two things the man in the story was looking for: identity and freedom. And so as we hold up bread this morning, we say to ourselves, the identity of who I am. Yes, mom and dad, or some weird person, they gave me a name, and I took that name as a kid. It was forced upon me, but it's the name that I grew up with. I grew up with whoever I grew up with. If I had parents, if I just had family, if I had aunts, uncles, whoever it is that raised me, it's how I grew up. Many along the way, if it wasn't spoken over them, the identity by God, many of us this morning, we chose an identity that we thought belonged to us. If your identity is not in the cross of Jesus Christ, then you have a false sense of identity this morning. Every heart wants to know, Why am I here? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? What's my reason? And it can only be found right here in Jesus. The man in the story was possessed, and he needed to know his true identity. This morning as we take the bread, we take it for two reasons. Communion is to honor, to reflect, to remember. But also, as they sat down to partake in communion, it created a bond, like a family, a friendship bond. As we partake together, we do, the beginning Sunday, first Sunday of every month, we take communion. It creates a bond with those we're taking and we're honoring together. So us in here this morning, we take communion, we take the bread this morning. Matthew 26:26, as they're eating, Jesus took some bread, he blessed it, he broke it into pieces, he gave it to the disciples, take this, eat it, for this is my body. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. He who finds me will never be hungry again. And so as you eat this morning, you're making a statement. Jesus, I choose you. You are my identity. I'm leaving everything that I've lived up to this point, and I'm accepting you, your broken body, what you gave, because now I identify with you. Verse 27, Jesus goes on. He took a cup of wine. He gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from this. This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. We had two symbols this morning representing Jesus, the bread and the wine. We had two things in our story today the man was looking for, identity and freedom. The bread that we just partook, the bread that we just ate, consumed, to make a choice, a decision. God, I identify with you. Now we get ready to take the blood, the wine, the juice, which says this blood covers, cleanses, and heals me, delivers me of all sins. All wrongdoings, that when I choose the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm choosing to walk in the freedom that he's already provided for me. This morning we're going to wrap up by with one closing story, Mark 8, verse 31. You can just leave your cups right where you are. Mark 8, 31 says this, Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer terrible things. And if it sounds familiar, it's because we read part of this at the beginning of service. Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. As he talked openly about this with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then reprimanded Peter, "Get away for me, Satan." Nothing like calling your best disciple the devil. Peter, right before this, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Peter, first one, jump up, Jesus, me. He goes, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, you're correct. That's revealed to you by God in heaven. He goes, Peter, you're a rock. Man, you're strong, you're brave, you're courageous. And then Jesus goes on in the same conversation, describing what would happen to him. He said, the Son of Man, who Peter just said that he was, is going to suffer, is going to die, be raised to life on the third day. Peter, he had a happy moment because he answered correctly. Maybe sometimes being correct can get to our head, because then he failed to see the Messiah's story, which had a tragic and a beautiful ending, because the Messiah was born, lived 33 years, and then he was crucified and he died. But his life and his story didn't end there. We know that he was raised to life. Jesus, describing this to disciples, Peter stopped him and said, no, you can't die. We're not going to let you die. And what did Jesus go on to say to him? He said, listen, get away from me, Satan, because you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, follow me, because if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, for the sake of the good news, then you're going to save it. And what benefit do you have trying to gain the whole world but losing your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinful day, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns with the glory, Father, and his holy angels. All of us, I think, at some times in life, and probably most of the day, see things merely from a human point of view. But how many of us are stopping to say, God, let me see it from your point of view? The man in the story, he was possessed by a legion of demons because he chose to live a life for himself. He chose to live a life that was directed by darkness. It started little, but darkness grew. The man chose to continually live, trying to gain the whole world. Let me gain everything that I want. Let me go out and experience every good thing that offers a good feeling. Let me go and take and steal and rob whatever it takes for a good feeling and a good time. I'm going to do it. But Jesus said, listen, living a life, if you try to gain the world, you're going to lose your soul. And sometimes some of us in here, we're trying so hard for what the world has to offer. Sometimes we're working and we're wasting most of our life while ignoring the most important things that are right here in front of us. Why God? Why me? Why now? For what reason? For what purpose am I here? Why? For the identity that God's made you to be. For the freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. We're in a theme called Why. Today it's Why Jesus, because it's Communion Sunday. Has Jesus become the Lord and the Savior, and the Messiah of your life? There is historical documents. There's proof that he lived and he was real. But no matter what other people say about Jesus, the 11 disciples, the only thing that's important this morning is, what do you say about Jesus? Is he the Lord and Messiah of your life? Have you asked him to come into your life, to take hold of you, and to become everything, to follow? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to take up your cross and what? Follow me. Last verse, and then I end with this and a song, I promise. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, you should know this, people in Hemet. In the last days, there's going to be very difficult times. People, now this is going to sound real familiar to most of us, will only love themselves and their money. Boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, consider nothing sacred. Boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving, unforgiving, slander others, have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They betray their friends, reckless, puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They act religious. How many of us know? We all know how to act religious in front of other people, like we have it together, like we're doing all the good things, but they reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They're the kind of who work their way into people's homes, win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they're never able to understand the truth. And I know Paul says this about women, but it's just as true for men. So many people today, they don't want to hear the same old Bible verse. They don't want to hear John 3:16 3 million times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. They don't want to hear what the Bible says. There's a lot of people who say, I need something new. Can you find a new scripture for me? Can you find something new for me? I need something new. Don't just say the same thing over and over again, though it's in the Bible. That's old. Give me something new. This is written about what? The end times. And so this morning as we close, we ask ourselves, how many will not admit that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible is real? Because the minute you admit that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Bible is real, you now become accountable to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Are we here by chance? Are you here just because you came from nothing? Or did you have a designer? Did God put you here? Everything in life and creation and in the human body, what does it do? It points to a creator. Humanity today, it's lost, broken, confused, hurting, looking for love, looking for identity, looking for freedom, in all the wrong places. Everything that humanity wants and needs, it's only found in Jesus Christ. The man who was possessed by demons, what did he say to Jesus? He said, Jesus, can I come hang out with you? And what did Jesus say to him? No, not right now. Go tell your family, go tell your friends what I'd done for you. What did this man do? It said that this man instantly went to 10 different towns. So he didn't just go Hemet, Val Vista, San Aceto. This man went to Beaumont, and he went out to Palm Springs, even though it's 120. He traveled to 10 towns immediately, and he started sharing, this is what Jesus did for me. This morning, why Jesus? Why now? What's he done for you? And are we sharing this news? We're designed by him. We're loved by him. He is the Lamb of God that took my place so that I'm not guilty. This morning as we close, you know, the best of life, the best, the very best of life, it's not found in any man, it's not found in any woman, it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in God. Jesus alone can provide the identity and the freedom that we all of us this morning, we look for and we want. Jesus can forgive, cleanse, heal. He can deliver. He can set free. He can bless us now and later. Jesus. Why? Jesus is the real deal. What is Jesus to you this morning? And how do we pass Jesus on?